At some stores, holiday shopping is hard.
Hi, I'm looking for holiday gifts, and I need a poor selection of tech products.
You've come to the right place. Our selection is pathetic.
Oh, and the prices on your tablets and laptops are...
astronomical.
Perfect.
But at Staples, it's easy to find great prices on e-readers this holiday season. Come in and try the color touchscreen and cloud-accelerated web browser of Kindle Fire, or experience the new Nook tablet with the benefits of Nook Color, plus the best in HD entertainment. Staples. That was easy.
For Margaret, we shared a newspaper in a thunderstorm. We raised three amazing children. We sang at the piano until the neighbors complained. So here's to making the next 30 years as wonderful as the first. Love, Adam.
When you give the gift of New York Life, you give the most selfless gift of all. New York Life Insurance Company can help you plan a secure retirement so you can spend your retirement years the way you deserve. Contact your New York Life agent or visit us at newyorklife.com.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I'm lucky I can speak because my mouth is still on fire.
Oh, it wasn't that spicy.
Oh, my God. We had dinner at Little Ciro last night, Johnny Moniz' new place.
Yep.
Thai cuisine that was, you describe it, it was awesome.
Well, it's a multi-course meal that's $45 per person. It's one menu. There are no substitutions, and there are no reservations. And it's right underneath Comey. Well, a little next door. Not right underneath. There's a dry cleaner. It's right underneath Comey. But it's next door, and it really has this fantastic vibe, and you just have to wait until you're seated. We sat at the bar, and it was just plate after plate of really interesting Thai food, and
well,
it was so spicy
it was that. And what
yummy.
What I liked about it is
because you brought the menu with me.
I'm cheap and easy. I like that the place is very
well. You're cheap, that's for
I
sure.
am cheap. I'm the cheapest guy in town, but the place is very simple. And it's all about the food there. And the food is worth every dime you pay.
Absolutely.
And that is not something I say about most places.
I can't wait to go back. I'm really looking forward to going back.
All right. So why don't we get into
the
show?
Get into it. All right.
We're done with kissing up to Johnny Moniz.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So if you think you know how to eat ice cream, you should think again. Because Susan Cerenko, who's the founder of Marenko Ice Creams, is going to teach us how to taste ice cream.
Right, because I know you probably think you know how to taste ice cream.
I know how to put it in my face and swallow it.
And you're very good at that.
Thank you.
I watched you do it last night. So, okay, and also on the show, I mean, I'm so excited. We're going to have some oysters in the show. Will Sexton is here. He is the master shucker at Todd and Ellen Gray's Watershed over in the Noma area.
Lots of plays on those words, don't you think?
Right, there's so
master
many.
Master and shucker. Will, you're in for a treat today,
you're gonna
pal.
You're going to have fun.
You'll never forget this experience.
Former NBA player is opening up a new restaurant in Silver
Spring. Yeah,
Jason
Spring. Scarry's here. He's opening up the Society Lounge.
Right.
And he's here. He's going to talk about that. And
I see Bloody Marys in my future. And
oh,
they
yeah.
look delicious.
Awesome. Perez Klebon is the beverage director and one of the proprietors at Mr. Rain's Funhouse in Baltimore's American Visionary Art Museum. And if you don't know anything about the museum or about Mr. Rain's, I suggest you run, not walk, to your Google.
Well, how about, can we... do this a different way?
I'm just saying.
Why don't you just say, Prez,
well,
step
I
up to the mic.
Will, but it's a cool-looking place. So,
what is the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore?
Oh, well, it's almost, it's well, one of a kind in the United States, but two of a kind in the world.
Okay.
What they focus on is outsider art, basically untrained artists. So, in a sense, folk artists, if you will, but definitely coming from a different scope than you would find with trained artists.
Okay, so it's
finally an outlet for my art.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh.
Thank you, Perez.
Oh,
okay.
Perez.
And how, what is Mr. Rain's? What is Mr. Rain's Funhouse and how does it work in relationship with the museum?
Well, we are a contemporary American cuisine restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what we try to do is create a symbiosis and
It's really early in the morning to
yes,
say symbiosis.
I know.
Isn't that like a 30-cent word?
I was looking at that word this morning. It came up on my clock.
SAT word.
Yes. But we were,
smart ass.
What we were looking to do was offer the dining public a unique fare as unique as a museum offers its artwork.
Okay.
So what we did was we focused on three different things, basically eat, drink, and see. something that I thought that we think is very, very unique to Baltimore and the greater Baltimore, D.C. area.
So what's the food? I mean, give me an example of the food there.
It's regional cuisine. As far as chef's philosophy is that...
And can you say the chef's name?
Chef Baczynski.
Baczynski.
Chef Bill
Baczynski,
yes.
And his wife, right?
And his wife, their partner, Maria Baczynski.
Uh-huh. Think about it. Mr. Rain's Funhouse with Chef Baczynski, it sounds like a Jeff Bridges movie.
I know. Where, it just sounds like so much fun.
Lebowski and Baczynski.
No robes, though.
Right.
But basically, his philosophy was to say, what is American cuisine, mm-hmm. if you will? So it's as a melting pot, as the United States is... His biggest question was always, well, you look at Thanksgiving dinner, what in a Vietnamese home or a Korean home mm-hmm. or a Mexican home, what is on the table? I mean, obviously there's gonna be turkey, but if you're in a
what are
Korean,
the condiments, right?
Right. What
is
are the condiments?
Kimchi
next to turkey.
Right.
So basically, that's what we look at and try to play off that melting pot.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, and you're making us a Bloody Mary to start, but you said it's your version.
It's
so
our
tell us what
version.
That means.
Our version. So we're going to start off with Croc cucumber vodka. So we're always going to start try to make it somewhat healthy. So we got the cucumber vodka.
Okay, that's
wait. So
funny.
What is healthy Cody. About cucumber vodka?
Well,
should I put it on my eyes?
It.
Will first, depuff my eyes for my night out?
Yeah, well,
maybe, possibly.
I
want to
see you put
that.
This vodka on your eyes, you numbskull.
I've been trying it myself, but. So we can do cucumber vodka, which actually, this crop is actually organic certified, so we'll start there.
Okay.
Then for our base, for our mix, what we do is we kind of think, go outside the box a little bit. Obviously tomato juice, but also ginger, soy, and instead of, ginger, soy, and lemon.
Okay.
This is what we're going to use.
I'm just thinking how much more ginger and soy my body can take after last night.
I know. So I'm a temple of health all with all the ginger and spice that I have.
All right, so why don't you get mixing?
Get started
all right,
on that.
Sounds
and
great.
Let's talk to Will a little. Will, step up to the mic, my
step
boy.
Step up to the mic, Will.
Now, Will was up late, everybody, so.
And he doesn't look it.
No, he looks good. He looks good.
See, you're so lucky we don't have the cameras in today.
Now, Will, and I want to ask this question carefully. What is a shucker?
Technically, a shucker is someone that opens oysters. The terms. Oysterman and shucker kind of interchangeable, stem through Louisiana, any kind of Gulf oyster houses. Shuckers generally down there are people that mass shuck huge quantities of oysters for any kind of fried oysters or buckets of oysters that you're going to get served in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that generally run the raw bars and stand behind down there are referred to as oystermen, but I don't really go for any titles because everyone calls me something different, so I just...
Well, we have our own. We've already developed our own name for you here.
I got a couple
here.
For you when the lights
go
out.
But how did you get into shucking? I mean, when you were a little boy, were you like, oh my God, that's what I want to do when I grow up?
No, it actually just kind of fell into my lap. I recently came up here from Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there for about 5 years.
Ooh, where were you?
Not a bad place to be.
We love it there, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite spots in the world.
So were you in a restaurant
down
there?
So were you working
yeah,
in a restaurant as a chef?
I was down at Coast Bar and Grill, which is right off King Street, and they needed a guy to chuck a lot of oysters, and one of my buddies worked there, and he asked me, and said, yeah, I'll give it a shot, and from then on out, I kind of got thrown into doing thousands of oysters a night off the bat.
Did it just appeal to you? Was there something about doing shucking that is comforting or that you enjoy doing as opposed to...
Do you feel like a mass murderer at all?
Yeah, you do until you start gouging yourself really bad.
Nah, and
you're like, take it.
A little revenge on their part. But I really hated it first, actually.
Really?
I despised it.
because it's tedious? Or
it's
what
extremely
about it?
Tedious
mm-hmm.
when you're doing huge volumes of oysters for hundreds of covers a night.
Right.
But you kind of, after about 10,000, you fall into a really nice rhythm and you really.
It's kind of like running.
Every oyster
you get that shucker's high.
Stab yourself a couple times and you're just like.
Are your hands like gnarly and muscly from all the.
Shucking?
They would be, but I'm kind of a wimp, so I use some nice
lotion. How do you protect yourself? Do you wear those, like, the shark gloves? Or?
No, I brought one so you can see, but I found it's too hard to hold a pen and write my number down to any girl that's impressed by
me.
All right, let's
You're
go to
man.
Commercial.
Wait, okay. So now you brought in some oysters today. What did you bring us?
I did.
Forget it. Hold on a minute. So girls come up to you and go, you're such a manly shucker. you know, here's my number.
Really hoping that'll happen in the future.
Oh, it hasn't happened. Yeah.
Well, you should tell Todd and Ellen that they should put you, like, in the center. Do you know what I mean? So that people can watch you.
I think I just heard Todd slap his forehead all the way over here.
I'm banking on them still being asleep.
All right, so what...
Tell us about what you brought in.
I brought a couple of oysters from Vancouver, actually, because they're the... I find some of the nicest in the world. I have... This little gnarly-looking guy is a Chef's Creek.
Okay.
From southern British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And it's... when I open them, you can tell all the differences, but it's a really nice, medium briny, creamy oyster. It's great for beginners.
Well, that's one of the things we want to talk to you about. I mean, there are so many oysters available, and I assume as your role of Master Shucker, I mean, you have to really educate yourself about all the varieties available.
Yeah.
And how do you go about doing that?
You eat a lot of them, which is, it's easy for me.
You must be very horny then, right?
Is he allowed to say that on air?
Sure, yeah, I am. Okay. It's an aphrodisiac, right?
They say it is. I don't know.
Oh my God. Sell it.
Yes, they are.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, that's 200 right. reservations at Watershed. Boom. Just canceled because you...
Right. So which one are you going to open for us first to try?
I'm going to do the Chef's Creek. Okay. Because it's going to go really well with the Bloody Mary.
All right, great.
It's got this medium, perfect, nice brininess and a nice creaminess.
So are they small? I mean, what are we going to look at?
They're boutique oysters. They're quintessential cocktail oysters.
Okay.
Small, little 1.5 to 2 inch meat.
Mm-hmm.
And just a nice little guy inside.
All right, well, we're going to let you do that. And before we dig into an oyster...
We're going to talk ice cream.
We're going to talk ice cream, which could be an aphrodisiac.
Right. Susan, first That's question. True.
Yes.
Your last name is Soranko.
Yes.
The name of the ice cream company is Moranko. We had a bet. Nikki, is it like Moo?
Yeah.
Like Mooranko?
Right.
So that's
right.
It?
That's well, there is a story.
All right, well,
What's
let's hear it.
Okay, so the story is that we were trying to come up with a name for the company that we could trademark.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of ice cream out there. It can't be anything with Scoop or Cow.
Or Ben and Jerry's.
Can be neither Ben nor Jerry.
Fred and Irving's.
Right. And so my whole family was, like, putting their heads together to try to come up with a name that was evocative and but also trademark worthy. And we had a big family dinner one night, and my niece, who was 9 at the time, said, "Oh, Aunt Susan, why don't you just be done with it and call it Moranko's?" And her last name is Soranko also. And we just laughed. We thought it was the most ridiculous thing we'd ever heard. And then I thought, well, really, who's going to want that name except the people sitting at this table, and I can control all of them. So we thought, okay, let's give that a shot. We took it to, you know, the trademark people we were working with. They went nuts because they had the same response we did. There's probably nobody out there who wants that name. And so that's how we got it.
But, well, let's back up. How did you get into ice cream making? I mean, this isn't an old family business. This is something you started.
Right. No, I was a fitness trainer before.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know.
Boy, you went over to the dark side.
Exactly. And I will tell you,
Luke, I am your father.
I've explained this a million times. It's far easier to sell people ice cream than it is to sell them
health.
Fitness.
The hell with it. Die.
And my sons and I had gone on vacation, and we had some really lovely ice cream where we had gone on vacation, which I won't talk about. And they said to me, "Oh, Mom, you should figure out how to bring this back to Northern Virginia." And to this day, it's now about 12 years since that happened, they will insist that they meant a quart.
They didn't mean for you to start your own business.
I misunderstood. I miscalculated.
Give Mom an inch. She takes a mile.
She gets some big equipment.
So then what did you do? I mean, how did you get into ice cream making?
I went to ice cream school.
You went to ice cream school?
Yeah.
There's an ice cream school?
Is there a university?
There's an ice cream university.
Where is that?
It's in New York.
Do you have a basketball team? Because
we have a basketball player.
Player right here, man.
They move a little slowly, but they're excellent with big equipment, big pieces of machinery.
Okay. All right. We have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to hear what you learned at Ice Cream University and what you're doing to your ice creams. And then
this is a yes or no thing. Is everybody at Ice Cream University, except for you, fat? Because you're tiny. Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Really?
Really.
No, okay. It's just you.
This
is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be back in just a sec.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The community tables at Founding Farmers DC are perfect for holiday gatherings to celebrate with friends, family, colleagues, and acquaintances over a delicious meal. Our community tables seat up to 10 guests, and our amazing menus and award-winning cocktail program will make anyone feel welcome. Located in the heart of Foggy Bottom at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers is ready to help make your holidays more festive, relaxing, and enjoyable with delicious, true food and drink. We're open Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Details and reservations are available online at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got Susan Sarenko, who is the founder and chief ice cream maker of Murrenko Ice Creams.
How do you think ice cream and Bloody Marys go together? Can we make that work?
Yeah, Perez Cleavon just gave us Bloody Marys, too, but let's talk about Ice Cream U.
Oh, Ice Cream University is one of the places where you go to make ice cream. It's in New York.
How did you find it?
I don't remember. It just kind of showed up. I think I was looking at going to take the course at Penn State, which mm-hmm. is where most people go, and it wasn't
not being... anymore.
Oh, David, go ahead.
Oh, right. Okay. And
I hope my father's not listening. At Penn State,
and the course wasn't being given at the time that I needed it, so mm-hmm. I started looking for other options. And Ice Cream University showed up. It's run by a wonderful man named Malcolm Stogo, who is. Mm-hmm. has been my mentor now for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they basically teach you how to work with the equipment that you need to make artisanal ice cream.
Well, because I was going to say, I mean, David and I were talking about it. He was like, I mean, what's really in ice cream? I mean, we got cream, sugar,
milk. Egg yolk, sugar.
Right. So what is it, what were you looking to produce in your ice cream?
I wanted to make a really outrageous ultra premium, which is a specific grade of ice cream with as natural a collection of ingredients as mm-hmm. is possible, given you know what has to happen chemically with the product.
Okay, so what does premium mean?
Ice cream has to have, in the United States, ice cream has to have at least 10% milk fat to qualify to be called ice cream. Mm-hmm. Between 10 and 12% milk fat is your traditional ice cream. 12 to 14% milk fat is considered premium, mm-hmm. is graded premium. Between 14 and 16 is super premium, and that's where the two biggest names fall. Mm-hmm. And then anything over 16% milk fat is considered ultra premium.
Okay.
So if you...
But is ultra premium, just because there's so much fat in it, does that make
it
better?
What does that do for the ice cream?
No, it doesn't necessarily make it better.
Okay.
It makes it...
thicker?
Richer and creamier, mm-hmm. but there are a number of other elements and a number of other factors that determine the quality of the ice cream. So ultra premium really just refers to the amount of milk fat in the product, and that's an actual USDA designation.
Okay, and then what did you want to do? I mean, once you started going to school and you were like, this is, you did you just play until you found the exact recipe that worked for you?
Well, I kind of knew what I wanted to create. I wanted to create an ice cream with a long finish. Mm-hmm. I wanted a long finish, meaning you put it in your mouth and you taste it even after you swallow it.
Let's try that.
Let's
talk about how to do that. Okay, so first you put the vanilla on your spoon.
Now, why do you start with vanilla?
Because it's the least I want to say the least complicated, but that's not really true. It's okay. Sort of the, it's got the least amount of things added to it. So the first thing I do is I smell it. Just like with wine or...
Oh, but I mean, you can really smell the vanilla.
Yeah.
And it's a delicate bouquet.
Don't be a jerk.
And for my taste, I prefer that there not be any hint of vegetable or floral or coconut, okay? Then you put it in your mouth, and Nikki just swallowed it without doing what I was going to ask her to do.
Okay, sorry, can I take more? Okay.
Okay, so the first thing you should taste when you taste ice cream is the flavor that you ordered.
Okay.
In other words, if you ordered vanilla, the first hit you should get right at the front is vanilla.
Right.
The second thing you should notice is the dairy. You get the creaminess.
You get the creaminess,
second hit.
Right.
The third hit is the sweetness. So if it leads with sweet, I generally won't
Does that mean it's too much sugar?
Yeah, it's got a lot of sugar, and the sugar is usually compensating for
something suck you in
that
with the
isn't,
sugar.
Right?
Okay.
And then the fourth thing is that it's cold. Then the question is, how long does the flavor last? And sometimes you'll notice as you're eating other ice creams, not Marenko's ice cream, but other ice creams, after maybe the third or fourth spoonful, you taste sweet, you taste cold, and the taste is
gone.
Well,
is that what the extra milk fat helps it do? Does it helps
just
it linger?
It's the egg yolk.
Oh, really?
Because you know the one thing, and this is
it's delicious
that
you.
I always
it's
have a
creamy.
Problem, particularly with vanilla ice cream, is when you there are chunks of little like shards of vanilla bean in there. You know the
vanilla bean,
not
like
vanilla
the little
bean,
specks. You mean?
Little, yeah, that they'll have that.
I don't know what you're talking
like
about.
Like it's gritty.
Yeah,
but that's not the vanilla bean.
What
that's
is it?
Something else, right?
Well, it could be the vanilla bean, and let me just say that the vanilla bean, for the most part, is perception.
Okay.
It's really about the quality of the vanilla that you use, and the bean is kind of extra.
Really?
But
well, let's talk about the ingredients that you are using. How do you go about sourcing, you know, your dairy products, your eggs, and, you know, you have all these flavors that you brought in today. How do you find the products that you want?
I spend a lot of time on the phone, on the computer, and comparing things. And the dairy comes from small farms, either in Maryland or Pennsylvania, small family-owned farms. The components, the recipe for the mix that goes into each ice cream is proprietary. So the creamery's...
Door's locked. So.
Okay, then. The creamers that I use, that they're kind of sworn to secrecy in terms of my recipe.
Okay.
So it's consistent, and it's, you know, it's made by professionals, so I'm not making it in my
factory. You're not making a bathtub in your house or something like that.
I don't.
And how did you come up with your flavor profiles? Because you do have some very interesting flavors.
We really should try some others, don't
yes,
you
Yes, you should. I just wanted to make sure that you understood how to taste the ice cream. And you want to move on to coconut almond?
I'm thinking chocolate.
You want to go straight to chocolate?
Straight to chocolate.
All right, I did line these up in terms of...
We'll follow your lead.
All right,
you are
so
the ice cream
let's
master
go
here.
To coconut almond.
Okay.
All right.
Nicole.
What was the question? How do I come up with my flavors?
Yes.
Sometimes I have dreams about them. Sometimes customers recommend them. And sometimes what I'm trying to do is is just throw a little twist onto something that you already know.
This is very
yummy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really yummy.
Thank you. We use a lot of coconut milk in that, as opposed to coconut base, which has a lot of chemicals in it.
Okay.
So that's one of the flavors that's very popular at Whole Foods because it's an all-natural flavor.
Sure. But the almonds, it's not like there's big chunks of almonds in there.
Just slivered almonds, and we toast them. We
it's
toast
really
them in
nice.
Our kitchen.
Okay.
Where's your factory or kitchen or what would you call it?
The Marenko's... Elfdom is in Silver Spring. We have a factory in Silver Spring. And then our shop is also in Silver Spring.
Right.
About a mile down the road on
Georgia.
Well,
you should talk to Jason because he's opening up the Social Lounge in
Silver Spring.
Oh, I know where that is. Well, Jason will be getting a call shortly.
Oh, right. Jason.
Well, and I see your ice creams at Whole Foods, Chevy Chase Market.
Right.
And are you at farmers markets at all?
We used to do farmers markets, but I don't really have the manpower to do that. If there's anybody out there who's enterprising enough to want to sell my ice cream at a farmers market, please give me a call.
Give her a call.
But we're just in a lot of places. And come the weekend, I'm doing appearances at Whole Foods, appearances at Giant, and I don't have the capacity yet to be in more than one place at one time.
Totally get that.
So That's why we're not at
That's
Farmers
very Star
Market.
Trek. All right, we've got about two minutes left. So
okay.
I want to make sure, how do people find you online?
www.marenkos.com.
Okay.
And they can come to the store in Silver Spring.
They can
come
to the
address.
Store.
Which one is
the store? This is Honey Lavender.
Oh, I really
Yummy.
Like that.
The store is at 8030 Georgia Avenue, right next to the original Chris Field.
Oh, okay.
Just at the DC line.
Well, let me ask you a question. Because here you are and you're making premium. The name that I grew up with was Giffords. And the name was sold lots of times and eventually sort of sold and leveraged out of business. How hard is it to maintain? Well, for example, in the winter.
What's the question? Ask the question.
I'm getting to it. I mean, they went out of business because they couldn't maintain the quality. So the question is, how rigidly do you have to watch everything to make sure that every quart of Marenko ice cream that goes out the door is, you know, exactly what you want it to be?
Well, we have the advantage of making it on site. We're making it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm like 2 seconds from, that's the salted caramel. With
the salted caramels. Every time I have one, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. And I'm like, oh my God, no, this one's my favorite.
So I'm like 6 feet from the kitchen.
Okay.
So, I'm in the kitchen all the time. My production manager, Nick, is terrific at observing and making sure there's no recipe drift, as we call it.
And that's really what I was asking, because a lot of people get successful and then quality control starts to ebb.
Right.
Well, these were terrific.
These are great.
It's a really fascinating story how you got into it and
Thank
how
you.
You're doing it. So how many flavors total do you have?
We have about 30 that we put in pints that are sold at Whole Foods, Giants, Chevy Chase Market. We're in all of the Mom's Organic markets and pretty much every independent supermarket in the area.
That's great.
And then we have a gazillion more that we sell in the shop. And, you know, frequently we make it up. Sometimes our customers come into the factory and work with me in the kitchen and make their own flavor. And
how much fun.
I know.
That's awesome.
It's a great little birthday party thing.
Oh, so good to know. Like
good.
Kid birthday party?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good to know.
Is that five birthdays I'm doing?
No. I got three. They're older already. The two younger ones.
Here we go.
Okay.
What am I trying
Fresh
now?
Ginger.
Okay, I'm going to taste the ginger.
And then
we're going to go to our oysters.
Whoa.
Can we put some ginger on our oysters? What do you think? That might work, right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well?
David's reaching for the chocolate.
It's okay. Mm.
What about a little ginger with the oyster? Do you think we can make that work?
Cream and oysters?
Yeah. Cream? I guess no cream.
No.
No cream with oysters doesn't work.
Okay, I liked all of them, but the Marenko's chocolate.
No, ginger is my favorite. Chocolate.
Ginger was great.
Home
all right.
Run.
Have we shucked?
Yeah.
All right. So tell us what we're going to be digging into and the flavors we're going to be looking for.
All right. These first ones we're doing are the Chef's Creek. They're starting to become really popular, mostly
What does that mean? Why?
I'm not really sure why.
Okay.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I think it's mostly because they're called Chef's Creek. So a lot of second-rate cooks are like, oh, let's get these. But they're a really nice oyster for beginners. They're kind of in the middle of the road with the creaminess and brininess, and they play really, really well off each other. They have a really nice, clean, saline finish to them that you don't have any lingering kind of feelings in your mouth or any kind of astringent taste that you get with a lot of funkier oysters out there.
And it's easy for, because there are some people, I mean, we happen to love oysters, but I think introducing people to oysters can be really tough.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. It's the hardest part of my job.
Is it?
It's trying to convince someone who's never had an oyster before to
just what do you do? Do you just down it in sauce or something? Like, here, just swallow it. Don't worry. The first one, once you get it over with the first time, it's okay.
Just pretend you're eating an eyeball.
How do you sell it?
That combined with my charm and wit usually helps.
Well, which is all in evidence this morning, so we're in good shape.
I keep oysters such as this one or Kumamoto's, which are really popular. For beginner people,
those
beginners
are the little
and
ones,
connoisseurs
right?
are like, yeah, they're a tradition. They were a Japanese oyster, and then they brought them over to California, and that's where they harvest them all now.
Whoa.
But you want something that's really easy to eat, that's small, that goes well with whatever they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want anything that's too overpoweringly creamy or anything that tastes like seaweed or anything like that. Like,
you are looking for a little brine, right? Like, you want it to taste like ocean water.
Yeah, but a lot of the big, huge, creamy oysters really freak people out a lot of times if they don't have much experience eating oysters.
All right, well, let's get an
experience. I make them look really pretty.
Okay.
That helps, too.
Okay, cool.
We're
going
to have to take a break.
We're going to take a break,
so,
when we come back.
Perez has made this
gorgeous
knockout Bloody Mary.
But I have to ask, Perez, what is this, a pickle? What is this?
These are our house-cured pickles.
They're delicious.
Yeah, and that's one of the highlights of our cocktails here.
And there's the spice is perfect.
No, they're sweet pickles.
No, but the spice of the drink is awesome.
Right,
really
we use
good.
A lot of different botanicals when we actually cure the pickles.
Okay.
To bring out that sweetness.
All right, well, when we come back, I see you starting on something over there.
Starting the next round, yes.
Okay, so we're going to find out what you're up to. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We have just polished off some ice cream. We're going to be digging into an oyster. And I see something delicious also down the pike.
We should be sponsored by Tums.
we'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my very special guest, Scott Hamburger, co-president and chief executive officer of Fortessa, a leading international designer, developer, and marketer of upscale tableware products. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. Can I help you?
Yeah, my brother got an Insignia HD Radio Portable last month, and he really enjoys his workouts now.
Yep, HD Radio broadcasts are great. All kinds of new stuff on the HD2, HD3 channels.
And the Insignia HD Radio Portable is $49.99?
Yes, it's a great value.
Whoa, lead the way.
And did you know Insignia also offers an HD Radio Boombox for just $99?
Insignia HD Radio receivers. Get them now at Best Buy. HD Radio. More radio, more value.
The community tables at Founding Farmers DC are perfect for holiday gatherings to celebrate with friends, family, colleagues, and acquaintances over a delicious meal. Our community tables seat up to 10 guests, and our amazing menus and award-winning cocktail program will make anyone feel welcome. Located in the heart of Foggy Bottom at 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Founding Farmers is ready to help make your holidays more festive, relaxing, and enjoyable with delicious, true food and drink. We're open Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. Details and reservations are available online at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast, and we're staring down the center of an amazing, amazing Bloody Mary.
Yes, we are.
And Will, have you shucked? Have you shucked?
Yeah, we're good.
Shucked, and he's passing him out.
Let's give it a try.
Great.
And we've just been joined in the studio by Jason Miscari, who is the proprietor of the new social lounge. It's about to open, right? When does it open?
It's going to open first week of January.
All right, cool. We're going to get into your restaurant in just a sec.
Perez, slug these down.
Can I get you in front of that mic?
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay, so tell us about what you're making, and then I'd like to hear a little bit about the drink program at Mr. Rain's.
Okay, so the next cocktail is coming up is called Black Pearls. This is kind of a festive drink, particularly moving into the New Year's season.
Mm-hmm.
This is a combination of soju, which is a distilled rice spirit,
mm-hmm.
Yuzu juice, which is a Japanese citrus,
mm-hmm.
Black sugar syrup, and then finally sparkling sake. So we try to keep it all the Japanese.
So really simple.
Really simple.
Not difficult.
Not difficult, but hopefully the flavor profile and the complex is a little more complex than the ingredients.
Let me ask you a question. Direct question.
Yes, please.
Are cocktails getting too fancy?
No.
I don't think so. I think right now it's more of the renaissance of anything else, and I think a lot of new chefs or new bartenders are coming in are taking it with the same idea as a chef would in your kitchen. So.
Well, I agree with you. We talked about this last night because you brought up this question.
Yes, we had a burning conversation.
We did. And my whole point to him is that there's such a commitment now to better quality ingredients.
Right.
You know, whether you're sourcing your vodka or, you know, staying local or making your own bitters. And I think it shows in the cocktails. Right. You know, there's not these juicy, syrupy, like, high-calorie cocktails.
There are some places where you go where there are, like, 9 ingredients in the cocktail and it takes the bartender, you know, 15 minutes to prepare
right.
it.
But
and
it's worth the wait.
That's definitely worth the wait. And, again, depending, I think a lot of it, again, there's different, I guess, different sects of... cocktail making, and it depends on what your philosophy is. If you were looking at more of a classically inspired drink, I mean, again, you can be down to four ingredients. And then there's some bartenders, mixologists out there that are doing more of the molecular item there. So you're seeing is a little bit more incorporated into it. But I think it's about the mixologist finding where and what path they want to go into.
Okay.
And plus, I guess the clientele sort of dictates.
The clientele also dictates, absolutely. That
happens quite a bit. Well, don't you think more and more people these days are looking for a great place for a good cocktail?
I think so. I think people are taking drinks a little bit more seriously.
I agree.
As far as, you know, the wine, as wine has gone over the past 20 years, as
and
far
now
as beer has gone.
Right.
Right. So cocktails is the next thing up. And I think all encompassing, the thing that I look forward to in the future is actually encompassing all three of those aspects and actually looking for various different avenues to incorporate beer, not only just spirits, but beer and wine into drinks.
Cool.
So. All right. Well, let me flip over to Will for one quick second.
That was like tasting the ocean.
They were very salty.
I loved
that. I mean, in other words, obviously the water that the oyster lives in sort of dictates a lot of, you know, how the oyster grows and what it is. But that was really good. It was like you didn't need to add anything because it comes in the oyster. Is that typically how those oysters are?
Yeah. And it depends month by month with, like, so temperature and salinity in the water. Depends on when they were harvested. All oysters are grown in brackish water, so most of them are grown in inlets. And they
brackish does not sound good, though.
Yeah, like, that just means salty.
I know what it's supposed to be, but like brackish has like
salty.
A bad
Forgive her, Will. She doesn't know anything.
I know what it means. I just, you know, I don't like it.
But
I don't like
even when, depending on the tides coming in, they found the can affect the salinity of the oyster in the out. Like
really?
If it's getting a fresh water flushed through, they circulate an ungodly amount of water through themselves. Like it's like something like 300 gallons
a day. So
there's even
a time of the
oyster.
Day when you should harvest the oyster?
Yeah, can affect it. And a lot of places will put them in freshwater baths when they're waiting to ship them, and that'll take out a lot of salinity.
But you don't want that. Like this really, to me, that tasted like it was right out of the ocean.
There are some oysters that it really, really helps bring out the flavors that are in really, really saline water. And you don't get a lot of like these fruity elements to the finish that some of the more delicate oysters get. Like Kumamoto's they'll put in a freshwater bath.
Okay.
And you get this really melony, light finish to them. And when they don't, some of the ones from around San Quentin don't do that. And it's just super, super salty little...
Like
oyster,
a salt lick?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into
Now we're
going to
switch. Jason Miscarry, we got to ask you about
your past
and your path, because you were with the NBA Hornets for a period of time, and now you're cooking up ribs that look so good.
Yeah, those are guava barbecue ribs.
Oh, my goodness.
I better try one right away.
I think
away.
You better. You need to. But you should talk.
You
should
talk to the
and
audience.
He'll eat.
I'll stuff my face.
Well, basketball was my first love.
Okay.
And I was fortunate to grow up in a household with my stepdad, who is a great cook. He's from Bowling Green, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, who's from Guyana in the Caribbean.
Okay.
My sisters, my brother, everyone can cook.
Excellent.
And we brought the...
Let me just jump in to say I've had three bites. You can cook, too.
Yeah, I mean, I love to cook. And at a young age, I had to fend for myself. So I watched my mom. I watched my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I incorporated the American fares coupled with Caribbean accents.
So, but where in your path were you like, okay, I did basketball, and now I want to open a restaurant? Those don't go hand in hand to me, so I'd like to know how you got there.
Well, I want to be a brain surgeon next.
Well,
good luck with that.
I mean, in all actuality, I would say we were the first people to introduce this type of food into Como Park in the 80s.
Okay.
Steve Francis, the Como Park natives, they all came there and ate because we were very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of parties and functions, and they tasted our food, and they loved it. So I opened the first restaurant, actually, is in Laws, called Island Flavors.
Right.
And
that is Caribbean-based?
That's just pure Caribbean-based.
Caribbean-based.
Yes.
And are you cooking there as well? Were you cooking there?
At times. My sisters are the ones that really...
Okay.
Your sister's been listening to this.
Shout out to the sisters.
Hey, man.
Okay.
She actually prepared that.
Oh, okay.
You could be my sister.
You're right.
This is delicious.
So go ahead. So you started with that restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And when did that restaurant open?
5 years ago in April.
Okay. And
this April will be 5 years.
You know, I don't think a lot of people know what Caribbean cuisine really is.
Well, we do because we've been there.
but I mean, it varies on island. I mean,
yes, it's very yes. It, do you know it what varies I mean? On different islands. Yes, it's very. But Caribbean, if you think about Caribbean, you think about flavor. Mm-hmm. You think about spice.
Spice.
Yeah, but you know, I wanted to have your traditional crab cakes. I wanted to have your one of the signature dishes that we're going to do at Society is going to be a rotisserie jerk chicken, which has never been done. And you think about the tenderness that you can get from, you know, rotisserie a chicken itself. And the flavor that comes from jerk that's marinated for 24 hours. It's going to be very tasty.
Well, let's talk about your new restaurant. What were you trying? What the Society Lounge?
Uh-huh.
What are you looking to do there? I mean, as you get closer to opening, what can people look to? It's in the former Nicaro space, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But it looks nothing like it before.
It looks nothing like it.
No. I have two wonderful designers and I had a part of it too, but the bar is extended. It's 42 feet long now.
Okay.
We have a fireplace, like if you're familiar with Oya, it's the same type of fireplace. I have a private room in the back. And in the spring, we're going to do a rooftop.
Oh, fun.
Boy. Yes.
It's and summer screen is really exploding.
Exactly. It's exploding. I mean, tons of condos and luxury apartments are coming up. And then not only that, you talk about Silver Spring is very diverse, and that's why I use the name Society. But a lot of times, these people have to go all the way to D.C., they have to go to Bethesda to enjoy themselves.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like I'm filling a void, then, you know, these people in their own backyard, and they can, someone can walk right across the street to Society. If not, we have the luxury of valet parking. They park their car for them, and they can come.
Probably could have used valet parking last night. Oh, my God. We drove around for a half hour.
Yeah, well, they can enjoy themselves and being around professional friends, conscious social people, just gathering, like Zentinius, you know, similar to that, you know.
So is it a small plate menu? Because these are not small plates.
Yeah, let's talk the menu.
Cause... Yeah, let's talk the menu.
But it's not really small plates. Okay. Some of the features items is, like I said, rotisserie, jerk chicken, guava barbecue ribs.
Right.
I have stuffed, red snapper with crab meat. Mm-hmm. That's going to have a curry coconut base.
Oh my God!
On the outside,
good.
And
so, how did you come up with this menu? Have you just been playing?
Honestly, I've been playing. I have a team, so to speak.
Okay.
I have a few people that's been helping me, and my sisters. They've been experimenting with different things as well, and collectively with a few chefs, we came up with this solid menu that. We think this is going to be very nice and popular.
But you haven't gone to cooking school.
Never.
Not that matters.
No, it doesn't.
But
no,
at all.
Some of the best cuts.
Right.
Exactly. But, I mean, I know flavor. I know taste. I'm a foodie guy. You know? I eat at various restaurants all the time, and I love food.
How come you're skinny?
Because I'm athletic. I work out every day.
Oh, exactly.
At least 5 to 6
Did you hear that?
Let me,
wait.
You want to get out there?
I want to break down that sentence. He
Let me tell
works
you, I have never
out.
Ever seen a rim that I've touched. Let's okay. put it that way. So. I'm a 3-point guy because I can't even get near the rim.
He's.
Are you going to give me crap
no,
on the radio?
Care. No, not about that. I could care less.
Better not.
But I think being a chef, like being I'm a foodie, and I love to cook, and I'm a pretty good cook. But for me,
not necessarily.
Okay. Yeah. I'll remember that tomorrow night while I'm making dinner.
That's crab rice.
To me, my fear would be in a restaurant is handling the amount of, like, buying correctly, handling all the people coming in. Like, how do you make that jump from a great home cook to a great restaurant chef?
Honestly,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, it's definitely going to be it's different from island flavors, and I understand what you're saying. You have to have food control and all those things. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate to have a great chef. His name is Alberto.
Okay.
And he's very good in the kitchen. He's able to. He knows how to get food out on time. He has been doing it for over 20 years.
Okay. So he knows how to order. He knows how to do it.
He knows all that
right.
stuff.
So you've surrounded yourself with the right people.
Yes. Abba, of course.
Right.
This is my PR
Where
lady.
Is she? She brought her kids. I want to see them.
They're out there.
She's out there. But, I mean, I think I'm not by no means doing this by myself.
Okay.
I'm just kind of spearheading the whole
thing. Especially not if your sister's listening.
But I have people around me that have experience in the restaurant business, and collectively we actually had a meeting the other day, and we're just kind of putting things together where we want society to be like.
Excellent. Well, all right, we have to take a quick break.
Wait, one second.
What is that?
10 seconds on this chicken, which has a real kick.
No, that's I'm sorry about the kick today.
No, please. But are you kidding?
That's not chicken. That is actually jerk prawns.
You're kidding.
Soaked in pineapples and mango.
It's got
garnished with
chicken peppers. Look and a chicken consistency.
Exactly.
Love prawns. Whoa, it's good.
Yeah, and that's jasmine carrot rice that you're eating with it right there.
All right, I'm going to let him finish eating. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have another oyster. We're going to talk a little bit more about Society Lounge, and I see gorgeous glasses at the other end
oh my
of
God,
the
this
table.
Is really
and
good.
Bitters. Lots
I need
of bitters.
A cocktail,
okay, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
With the price of stamps increasing, sending mail was getting more and more expensive. So in order to save some money, I've trained this crew of carrier pigeons to deliver my mail for me. Do they always get it right? Nope. Do my letters make it on time? That would be nope. Do they sometimes get lost? You got that one right. But who has two thumbs and isn't buying stamps? This guy, that's who.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. We're going to get back to Jason Miskiri in 1 second. I just want to thank the people that support the show. And if you're hearing this and you're not currently one of our advertisers, I want you to feel really bad about it. Georgetown Bagelry, greatest bagels in town, neighborhood restaurant group. That's Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Birch and Barley, Columbia Firehouse, Founding Farmers, and the new Founding Farmers out in Potomac. The Modus Hospitality, Noti Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro, three great restaurants. Our friends at Charles Schwartz and Son, our friends at the Bethesda Central Farm Market, and our new friends at Carmine's, downtown on 7th
Street.
Right. That's right, Carmine's.
Actually, we should say that we are doing...
No, you can't. It's
I can't
secret.
Say it.
Oh, no, it's a secret.
Aww.
Oh, we got a big announcement to make in about 2 weeks.
Oh, I didn't know it was
But it's big. Really
okay.
Big. Bigger than big. All right, Jason, back to you. So I walk in the front door at Society. What's going to happen?
Right.
Okay, when you walk in, to your right, it's going to be a really nice chandelier over the hostess stand.
Mm-hmm.
Coat closet, where you can leave your coats and hang it up. Mm-hmm. Very soft fabric. Metallic paint on the ceilings. Very nice wallpaper that pops out at you. To your left is the 42-foot bar. Bar with the lights up underneath, 350-inch TVs behind, granite countertop.
So it's a place to come.
So it's
and
a place to hang out.
Exactly.
That's
a place
what you're
to hang
for.
Out. Yes, you
okay.
can. You could lounge to the left, mm-hmm. and you can dine on the right. You have a private room to the back if, for whatever case.
Is the bar menu different than the restaurant or?
Slightly. I mean, more like a lunch menu at the bar. Menu.
Got it.
But you can.
I just have to say, David Hagedorn, who was our guest host last week. Just tweet, texted and said, shrimp that tastes like chicken.
I have a message for David, a secret message that only David Hagedorn should hear. And I'm saying it right now in my mind.
Okay. Well, so when can people look to open the doors of Society Lounge? Do you think it'll be open before the first of the year?
Probably not, because of the holidays coming up, and to get inspectors and everything out there is going to be tough. But we're just doing some finishing touches, and we should be ready to go in the first week of summer.
Excellent. Well, we'll really look forward to coming in and seeing what you're doing. Thank you so much for bringing all this great food today.
Have you got a website up yet?
Yes. It hasn't been launched. It'll be launched in the next few days.
Okay. And sociallounge.com?
No, Society SS.
Society.
Silver Spring.
Society.
This is Silver Spring. This is, you know, for people. I'm so glad that you guys had me on.
It was great.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
These ribs are...
They're so good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Well... You just handed me this, gorgeous specimen of an oyster. What is it?
These are Stellar Bays.
Okay.
They're northern British Columbia.
Mm.
And these are some of the nicest oysters in the world.
Oh, my God. They're delicious.
Yeah.
Can I ask a stupid question, though?
Yeah.
When it comes to oysters, you know, sometimes you have an oyster, and it's so clean. It's almost like it's been washed.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes, there's no grit, there's no nothing. And then sometimes you get one, and it's gritty, and it just doesn't taste as good. What do you do as a shucker to ensure that people don't get any grit? Or is that the cleaning process?
No, you just have to be really good at it.
You have to hire me.
You have a confidence problem.
Some oysters do break apart a lot easier, and it's really, there's nothing you can do about it besides throw it out. And you don't want to wash the oyster off if it's got grit, because you're going to wash away all the liquor, which is where most of the flavor comes from. But
this was an oyster that tasted like a Big Mac, David.
This
one,
creamy.
I'm keeping around. We're doing that the Boyd and Blair Happy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're featuring Boyd and Blair Vodka
in
Pittsburgh. It's this really nice artisanal vodka. And these go really well with the two featured cocktails that we're doing for them right now.
Okay.
One of them's got lavender bitters and horseradish, some sour and ginger syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And it really complements the nice, creamy, big meats of these oysters.
Yeah, it's super creamy.
Yeah. But you still get that nice saline bite, and if you get the aftertaste at all, a lot of people have a really melony, almost like a honeydew finish to it.
I don't know. I may have to have another one to really feel that.
There's a couple left.
What a snorer. David, I know you know what that means. All right. But, well, I've got a question. I want to go back to Perez while we're talking about the oysters, because, you know, you're putting a lot of things together here, all of which have really... to my mind, match with these oysters. So was that on purpose, or did we just get lucky?
Yeah, well, we planned it before the show. And
did you guys meet together last night?
They're like, hey, I don't know you, but are you going on Foodie?
Well, that's one thing that we do with our beverage program is we really try to make it compare our pair with the food.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is really important. That's what I think differs our beverage program than some other beverage programs that are just strictly doing cocktails.
Right.
What we try to do is take the foresight to look at how we create the drinks, to look at the chef's menu to make sure that they are always going to go together. The last cocktail you had yuzu juice and the sparkling sake, which is going to add acidity and brightness. And I think that last oyster and that drink
brought it out.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Well, and I have to be honest with you, this drink that you served really goes beautifully with the ribs, too, because of the sweetness of the guava.
Right.
It just accents it.
Actually, the thing that went best with the ribs was my face.
And the workout part, which was at the end.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Now, you have lots of little, gorgeous apothecary bottles over there.
Right.
Can you tell me what's in them?
Yeah, I have a couple of things here. This first one here is our... a vanilla tincture. It's a house-made vanilla tincture, basically an extract of vanilla that we house-make. So we take vanilla, and then we roast it, and then we steep it in a high-proof spirit for up to 2 weeks.
So, grain alcohol?
Grain alcohol or high-proof vodka. That works as just the same. It's a neutral spirit, so you can do that. This here is orange bitters. I have this is absinthe. I was planning on a flambé and something, but... and then also